An End to Millionaires. How much? With the rising anti-billionaire sentiment of the last few years, several articles have come out suggesting no one needs more than $30 million or $5 million. These numbers come out of status quo thinking from people living in the Western world. Taking a global perspective, I'd argue a much lower number. No one should be a millionaire, never mind a multimillionaire or a billionaire. The average global income is around $10,000 a year. Bear in mind, like all averages, this means in some countries it's under 1,000, and in others it's over 100,000. Assuming the most expensive purchase in people's lives is their home, and historically homes cost between 3 to 5 times annual income, this suggests the global average home should be between 30 and 50,000, which further suggests the global average citizen could really have under 100,000 of wealth. Even at the top end, with 100,000 per year income, that's 300,000 to 500,000 for a home. And if you accounted for all personal belongings, a vehicle, etc., etc., you'd still be under $1 million. Anyone living in a Western capital city will struggle to imagine living on so little. Even parking spaces cost more in some big cities. How is it possible for someone to live on so little in some places and for others to feel so poor in others, even though they have so much more? The economist Ha Jun Chang discusses the problem in his book, 23 Things They Don't Teach You About Capitalism, suggesting the cause is primarily due to artificial scarcity. In particular, the scarcity of human labor enforced through the controls on immigration. He compares the wage of a bus driver in India to that of one in Norway. They're doing the same job, though it could be argued the European driver has an easier time of it, yet earns 20 times more than his Indian counterpart. Why the difference? Someone somewhere has just spat out their tea-soaked biscuit and shouted, "It's purchasing power parity, you nitwit!" And sure, if you look it up, it's roughly 10 times between India and Norway. So a dollar gets you 10 times more in India than Norway. But why? Fundamentally, we live in the same world. We need clean water and food to survive, shelter to be comfortable. We use the same raw materials to produce the stuff we use. Why is existence 10 times more costly in one place than the other? I do think that artificial scarcity is part of the answer. If you have 10 times as many people applying to be Norwegian bus drivers, their wages would likely go down. If you had 10 times as many people building homes, rents and the cost of homes would similarly fall. In addition to the artificial scarcity imposed through migration controls, there is also the real scarcity caused by the accumulation of capital. It is quite literally the name of the game. The capitalist is one who accumulates wealth for themselves through the accumulation of other resources. In the early days of capitalism, it was through the enclosure of the commons, converting the public land into a private asset. Not only did this allow them to directly benefit from this asset, it had the secondary benefit of forcing the commoners into the cities to work in the factories of the capitalists. These days, capitalists need not bother with anything as grubby as land, most of which they already own. Instead, they can leverage financial assets, or informational assets, such as consuming all human knowledge to rent it back to us in the form of AI agents. The capitalists enforce scarcity by overconsuming, for example, by owning multiple homes for their own use or to be rented out at a profit. Regardless of the thing in question, by concentrating the control of something in fewer and fewer hands, the cost of it increases for everyone else. It's the very concentration of wealth by the capitalist class in a country which makes things more expensive for everyone else, that pushes up purchasing power parity of one country compared to another. What to do? To address this imbalance, the world requires a transfer of wealth from the mostly global North to the mostly global South. It's important to remember that the primary reason the North has so much wealth is that over the last few hundred years, it's been extracting it from countries in the South. Rather than thinking of this as a tax of sort, think of it as a rebalancing. A good start would be a debt jubilee, to forgive the national debts of these countries. To this day, more money flows out of the global South countries to the North than vice versa. The poor countries make the rich countries richer. This would bring the world closer to a global $10,000 a year income. This doesn't mean we would all be poor. Instead, things would be cheaper for everyone, and a very small minority of people would have less. To ensure the balance was maintained, there would need to be limits on capital accumulation. and positive alternatives to capitalist ways of doing things. You could still have markets and competition, both of which existed before the rise of capitalism. The companies would be more local and owned by their employees, not capitalists. And then? It's the artificial inflation driven by capitalism that means we need to work 40-plus hour weeks, that has both parents of a family in full-time jobs to make ends meet, that the majority of the world doesn't have enough, that most jobs are devoid of societal value or purpose. A balanced world, with value kept in local communities instead of siphoned off to the distant capitalist, would be one in which people worked for their community's needs, for the needs of the world at large, not in search of profit over all else. Thanks for listening today. This is the second installment of this project, Experiments in Audio. I've yet to give it a proper name. In the near future, there will be more traditional dialogues, and I will also continue reading some of the pieces I've written. I like to think of this as an antidote to the fatigue of bright packaging.